morning. Welcome to Friendship Community Church. How many elementary school age children do we have in the? I can't see you because lights. I need to hear you. How many do I have? One, two. How many? Maybe just like yell or something. Okay, I've got a pee. I heard. That was not what I was expecting. Normally, the elementary school age kids during this time would be up the hall in our education wing with Miss Teresa. But we wanted to have Thanksgiving week is kind of a family week, and so we thought we'd have a family service. And Miss Teresa is actually doing her version of kids' church for the 4 and 5 year olds, so they get a treat this morning. And typically, in kids' church, there's a lesson, and sometimes there's a craft and things like that. So I thought it would be fun to start off our time together after singing now with a craft. So I need some elementary school-aged children to come up here. So just come on up. Just if you want to, just come on up. Sit on the steps. You can come up on the stage and sit right here, got some room, and we're going to work on a craft while the parents check their Twitter and, yeah, I'm going to move this, I'm definitely going to move this, yeah, all right, yeah, good, okay, good, yeah, and you can sit on the floor if you want, but, all right, so are you ready to help me with a craft? Excellent. I appreciated the no. I like honesty. I'll come forward, but I'm not participating. Okay, so first off, what holiday are we celebrating this week? Did someone say your birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. How old are you going to be?
11.
11? That's cool. How many of you are younger than 11? Yeah. Yeah. But this one goes to 11. All right, I worked that in. Okay, so Thanksgiving this week, okay? And so we should do a craft, right? Have you ever done one of those crafts where you, like, cut out a turkey and then you, like, sometimes you, like, draw around your hand? Have you ever done that where the fingers? Okay, so we're going to do a craft. Look, I cut out a turkey. All right, you can see the edges. I cut out a turkey. So what do we do when we cut out a turkey around Thanksgiving? What do? Yes. Yeah. Elena is being held back into elementary school. We write things on the turkey, and for Thanksgiving, what types of things do we normally write on the turkey? What we're thankful for. Yes, exactly. Okay, so I need you to help me write out what we're thankful for on this turkey. Okay, what are you thankful for? Friends. Okay, so I'm going to write friends on here. Friends. Okay, you can't really see that. Would green work better? Oh, yeah, green works better. And green is such a fall harvest color. It does look Christmassy. Yes, sir?
Food.
Food. In other words, this. We're thankful for that. Well, maybe not the head. Yes, ma'am. What's that? God and Jesus? All right. There's always one. God and Jesus. Hey, can we throw in the Holy Spirit just so he doesn't feel left out? All right. Holy Spirit. Yes, ma'am.
Family.
Family. Yeah, family. I see a hand right here. Yes?
Screens.
We're doing a craft, and it's screen time at the same time. Isn't that amazing? Screens. Yes. Music. Music. Yes. You. The ability to breathe. Because without breath, we would be what?
Dead.
Wow, that was correct. You can see why we don't do this often. Yes, ma'am. You, yeah. What's that?
Houses.
Houses. Houses. Yes. If you've already given one, put your hand down just so I can try and get to everybody. Yes, sir.
Video games.
We'll put that next to screens. Video games. What do you play?
Minecraft.
Creeper. Oh, man. Yes, ma'am. Sisters. Yeah, we're not thankful for brothers, but sisters. How dare I? I know. I have four sisters, so. Yes, sir. Christmas. We're thankful for Christmas. It's coming. It's coming. Yes, sir. A life. We'll put that next to breathing. Life. Yes.
The angels in heaven.
Angels. Yes. Earth. Yes. If you watched the Harvard-Yale game, you saw that protest. Yes.
People.
Well, okay, I'll put it down. All people? Wow, okay. You're young. Yes. Yes. Mom or dad. Okay. Not both? Mom and dad? Yeah. Mom and dad. Yes. Clothes. Okay, and then we have room for one more. Arts. And hence crafts. Okay, that's a pretty good list. There's room for one more? Yes. The Bible. Awesome. That's a good one to end on. All right, so we just made a Thanksgiving craft, and so somehow I've got to figure out how to put this on my refrigerator and send it to all of you. But when we're thankful for things, we're normally thankful for things that make us feel what? Good. What else?
Happy.
What other things? The things that we're thankful for, what else? They make us feel good and happy, and what else? What's that? Joyful. Yeah. Grateful. Yeah. Thankful. Yeah, screens like a couch potato. By the way, the best couch potatoes, mashed couch potatoes. Those are the best. All right, so this week, you're going to be thankful for all these things, right? But what we're going to do now is we're going to look at a verse in the Bible that talks about giving thanks and what the Bible, because that was one of the last things we wrote right there on the turkey neck right here. By the way, did you know that my dad's favorite part of the turkey to eat on Thanksgiving was the turkey neck? My dad was really nice and really smart, but I cannot eat a turkey neck. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at the Bible and see what it says about thankfulness. So thank you for your help in creating my Thanksgiving craft, and go back to someone's parents. Doesn't have to be yours, but, okay, so, how many of you are thankful for friends and family, and how many of you are thankful for food? Yes, all right. Well, this morning, what we're going to be doing is looking at Psalm 106, verse 1. And this verse is found, or this saying and this verse is found in a number of different psalms, and also in 1 Chronicles, there's a version of this. And so if something is repeated, it's usually of some importance to us. And so before we look at this verse, let me just take a moment and pray that God would teach us something through his word today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible. We are thankful for that. We're thankful for all these other things as well. But most importantly, we thank you for your word because it's how we can know you. We can know you through the study of your word because what your word says is true. So help us to understand you more this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Psalm 106, verse 1 says this. Praise the Lord, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Do you know someone that uses a lot of exclamation points when they send you texts or send you emails or they post something? An exclamation mark means what? Excited, right? It means there's a lot of energy and emphasis. And for me, I have to watch how many exclamation marks I use. One, I don't want to use too many because then I just sound like this all the time. And would you go to the store? That's a question, but I can put an exclamation mark on it. And I really need some Diet Coke and some salami and other health foods like those. I have to watch how many times I use an exclamation mark. And I don't use exclamation marks a lot. In fact, I probably don't use them enough. So a lot of times when you are texting someone, when I send texts, I don't like to use exclamation marks. In fact, I have a friend who is not here. They don't go here. They're not here. But they use exclamation marks after everything. So they just sound like this all the time while I'm reading, and it's exhausting. And I just want to, so I overcompensate. So I don't use exclamation marks very much, especially in my typing, but I might be excited. And so I have to force myself to use exclamation marks so that people, when they get a text from me and I'm genuinely excited, even though I'm not, you know, in Winnie the Pooh, which character in Winnie the Pooh is a virtual exclamation mark? Tigger, right. Tigger is just any, like, he scrunches up and he becomes an exclamation mark. He scrunches up and he becomes an exclamation mark. That's not me when I'm writing. That's not me normally in life. But sometimes I need people to know and understand that I am excited and this is something to get my energy behind. Well, here in one verse of Scripture, we have two exclamation marks. Praise the what? Read the punctuation. Praise the
Lord.
Yeah, you read it correctly. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We have commas here. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, comma, pause, for he is good, comma, for his steadfast love endures what?
Forever.
Right. And you're like, just a little more coffee and I can really make this work. Or one more donut. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Yeah, we want to read it depending on our mood, right? Depending on our mood, depending on what's going on, the setting around us. But the way this reads is, praise the Lord. For, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. God, through his word, through this one verse in Psalm 106. Oh, it's time to wake up. That's all right, just hit snooze. Another half hour we can eat. God, through his word, gives us something to exclaim. And so this first phrase, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, for he is good, his mercies endure forever. His steadfast love endures forever. We need to praise the Lord. It's a command, right? Praise the Lord. Praise him. And that's what we did through music. Through song. We do that every Sunday morning. That's one of the reasons that we sing worship songs, is to worship or praise God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good. Why is he good? For his steadfast love endures forever. So just like the kids helped me with my craft this morning, I'm going to ask the adults in the room, which is middle school and above, young adults, and old adults. I want you to help me make a craft, but we're not going to use a turkey. We're not going to use poultry. We're just going to use a blank screen. What can you give thanks? What can you give thanks to the Lord for?
Health.
Patience. Answered prayers. I heard mercy. Right? Hold on. Food. FOD. No, there's two O's in there. Right here. It's here. It's right. There we go. Food. Okay. Hold on. Hold on a sec. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to who? The Lord. Why? For he is good. And why is he good? For his steadfast love endures forever. Let's do this again. And let's give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Food is good, but let's thank him for who he is. Who is God? What are the characteristics of God that you can be thankful for? He's steadfast. He's loving. He's loving. He's forgiving. He's faithful. He's all-knowing. That's omniscient. All-knowing. And it's easier to spell for me. He's omnipresent. He's ever-present. I can spell omni. What else? He's a provider. What else? He's powerful. Powerful. Righteous. What else? He's a healer. He's loving. He's everlasting. Everlasting. It reminds me of my first 45 days of faithfulness or thankfulness post about the everlasting gobstoppers. He's infinite. Trustworthy. In a world of people that you don't know that you can trust, you turn on the TV and you go from one news station to another news station and you don't know who to trust. When you get an email from a Nigerian prince, which Nigerian prince can I trust? He is trustworthy. He's powerful. What else? Kind. We've got loving up there. Kind. He's always there. I think we've got that. Always there. Let's get that in there. Always. Ever present. Yeah, but always there and ever present. Faith. He's faithful. Holy. Okay. That's a good start. We could keep going. But this verse this morning, Psalm 106, verse 1, says that we should praise the Lord. So when we praise the Lord, when you praise a dog, what do you say?
Good boy.
Who's a good boy? Yeah, you don't want to ask a dog a question because it's hard enough for them to understand what you're saying. Don't ask them who's a good boy. They're just going to be stuck wondering, I don't know who's a good boy. Just tell them, good boy, good girl, right? But when that's how you praise a dog. When you praise God, dog backwards, when you praise God, you praise him for who he is and what he does. See, when we tend to give thanks to God, it's usually for the things he does, the things he gives us. So we talk about thanking him for food, and we thank him for friends and things like that. But when you praise someone for just what they do, that's kind of focused on just what we get, right? But when we praise God for who he is, that he's everlasting, that he's ever-present, that he's loving, that he's kind, then we're really praising him for who he is. He's the infinite God of the universe. He's the creator of all things. In the universe, this place that we live, there are two things in all the universe. There are two things, God and stuff. Kids, do you get that? In the universe, there's two things, God and stuff. In other words, there's the creator and the creation. God who creates and the things he creates. So all of the things that we give thanks for, we can give thanks for his creation. We can give thanks for white meat and dark meat. We can give thanks for cranberry jelly that is in the shape of a can and smooth. And we can give thanks for the cranberries that come out more cranberry looking. You know, the ones with the actual berries in it. We can give thanks for my favorite pie at Thanksgiving. I'll give you one guess. Pumpkin. That's right. My dad eating the turkey neck favorite pie, my dad's favorite pie was mincemeat. I'm like, who wants meat in a pie and it's minced? I didn't even understand what mincemeat pie was, but that was his favorite. He also liked fruitcake at Christmas time. But we can give thanks for the creation, but if all we're doing is always thanking God for what he makes, then we never really appreciate him and thank him for what he is, who he is. So praise the Lord, give thanks, okay? So we praise God for who he is. He's wonderful. He's a wonderful counselor. He's the great physician. He's all-loving. He's kind. And then after you're done praising him for who he is, then give thanks for your situation. Give thanks for his provision. Give thanks that even when you don't get what you wish you had in life, give thanks that he knows what's best. And then when you get to that point of what's the favorite question of every kid in the backseat of a car on a road trip? Are we there yet? How much longer? Or how about this? Mom, Dad, can I have more screen time? And what's the answer?
No.
No. When kids, when you hear the answer no, you want to ask the question,
why?
That's right. Why? Why praise the Lord for who he is? Why give thanks for what he's done and what he's doing? Because he's good. Well, that's fine. You can say he's good, but why? Because his steadfast love endures forever. Steadfast means it's unchanging. It means his love is never going to leave you. His love is always with you. And not only is it with you, it endures, it lasts forever, like an everlasting gobstopper. By the way, those jawbreakers called everlasting gobstoppers, they end. I've tried it. In fact, I get impatient. I'll get down a few layers and then start crunching on it, and it turns into that powder, right? You know what I'm talking about, Graham? Yep. His love truly endures forever. Well, this morning, we're going to be doing, this obviously is different, what we've been doing, but we're going to be doing something a little different. I want you to take a moment and share with your neighbor, someone that's sitting around you. I want you to just take a couple moments to share with them why you are wanting to praise God today. Something about God that you're thankful for, and then share with that person and each other something that God has created that you're thankful for. So take a moment and have a conversation with the person next to you, on either side, whatever. Now, some of you came alone and you're like, I found a seat with no one sitting next to me on the either side for this purpose. You can just bow your head. You don't have to interact. Do this, you know, be deep in thought and prayer and reflect. But take a moment and share with the person next to you why you're thankful to God for who he is and for something that he created. So take a moment, do that. Okay, start wrapping up your conversations. I know, you like talking. Why is it important to share with other people your praise of God, of who he is? What's that? Because some people are what? Because some people are nice, okay? Why else is it that we should share with other people why God is praiseworthy to us? It might help them learn about God. Why else? Because it makes you think about what you're thankful for. Yeah, because we can get wrapped up in just our own little worlds. And so appreciating and praising God out loud, not just in a church service during music time, but just in conversation, praising God for who he is helps remind us, and it reminds other people. Also, it can be an encouragement, a reminder for us, because we'll say something to someone else, and then they'll say, oh yeah, well, me too, but this is why I'm praising God for who he is, and then that can be an encouragement to us. And then why is it important that we are thankful to God for what he has given us or created for us, and why is that important to share with other people? For the same reasons, right? To be expressive of our thanks. You know, there have been scientific studies done in the academic world, not in the necessarily the Christian world, but the secular world, where the studies have shown that the more a person is mindful of being grateful, the more grateful they become. Likewise, the more critical or complaining a person does and is, the more they become critical and complaining. And so just from a mental and physiological state, it's good for the soul to be thankful. But it's even better to be thankful not for just what you have, the creation that you own or the creation that you're given, but more so for the creator and that gave you that creation. It's so important because we can lose sight of a God who is spirit and only see what he has created in the physical realm. It's important for us to remember where that came from. Imagine the UPS truck or the Amazon Prime truck pulls up and they just start offloading boxes of things that you like and you don't like. And there's no address sticker or packing slip in those boxes. And so you keep opening the boxes and you get out some stuff that you like. You get out a remote control drone and you're flying that around and this is awesome. And then you get out a big bag of Brussels sprouts and you're like, okay. And then I'm going to move on from that one and I'm going to open up this and, oh man, bag of spiders, don't want. And then you open up, gummy worms, and the good kind, the soft kind. Thank you. Gummy spiders, I'd eat those. So it's the blending of two. But imagine if all those boxes, you just keep opening them and opening them and opening them, and you never know where they came from, who sent them. Now, for some of us, we might be like, oh, that's okay, as long as the boxes keep coming. But the problem is that when our lives end, when we die, those boxes of creation stop coming, and then we get to meet the sender. And when we meet the sender, we have a time of realizing, was I not only thankful, but did I know the sender, or am I just meeting them for the first time? That's the difference between Christians and non-Christians, believers and unbelievers. When we come face to face with Jesus, he is going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, or he's going to say, I never knew you. That is why it is so important for us in life to study God's word, to realize that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, Jesus, to live a perfect life, a life that we could never lead. To realize that the things that we do, even sometimes the good things we do, really a lot of times are all about us. We're selfish and we're in need of a Savior because of sin, that thing inside of us that causes us to do things either that we don't want to do or things that we really do want to do, but the Bible says we shouldn't because it's not good for us, because it separates us from God. Jesus came to live a perfect life and pay the penalty for our sin, which is death. And so that we could be eternally spending eternity, the rest of time, with our Heavenly Father, the giver of all good gifts. That's why we're to praise the Lord and give thanks. Why? Because God's good and his steadfast love endures forever. And it's one of the reasons that we practice something here at Friendship Community Church called communion or the Lord's Supper. It's where we take a little cup of juice and a little piece of unleavened bread or a cracker, and we consume them to remember something, to remember the life of Jesus. And I'm going to read a passage from a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in Corinth. It's called the first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. I'm going to be reading from chapter 11 to kind of explain, as Paul explained to the church, what we're doing and why we're doing it. And so let me read these verses to you. This is Paul writing to the church. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, did you notice that? Jesus, what did he do? He gave thanks before they ate of this bread and drank of this cup. He gave thanks. He broke it, the bread, and said, this is my body. He was using an illustration. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant or contract in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You remember it. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. What this means is when our ushers come forward, and ushers, you can start to get ready to bring those forward. When our ushers come forward and pass these trays of little stacked cups with grape juice on the top and unleavened bread crackers on the bottom, that let us examine ourselves before we take this. What this instruction is for two reasons. One, taking the Lord's Supper, taking communion, is for believers in Jesus, people that have surrendered their lives to Jesus, that have recognized that Jesus is the Son of God, that he took away our sins. If we believe in our hearts and our minds and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that we are saved. The Lord's Supper, these elements, bread and juice, are for believers in Jesus. And so if that is not you, or if you're an elementary school-aged boy or girl in here and you haven't had this conversation with your parent yet, then you just need to let these pass by. We're going to eat a Thanksgiving meal in a second, but this is not snack time. There's not like goldfish crackers in here, okay? This is something that we do at least once a month to remember the Lord and that Last Supper he had with his disciples. So these trays are going to pass, and you can look to your parent if you should take these or not. But also the second reason that Paul warns that we should not take these elements lightly is not because they're supernatural or they're magical, but because if we hold any grudge, if we hold any animosity or anger in our heart towards others, we're to not take this and to resolve that issue with another person. And so we take these elements with a reflective heart and mind. We take these elements, this cup and this bread, remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made for his, not just his friends, his disciples, but for those of us that have trusted our hearts to Jesus. And so so as these pass, take these cups and hold these, and just take a moment while we wait for everyone to take these. Take a moment if you've already gotten them, and maybe just bow your head and think/pray in your mind to God, praising him for who he is and thanking him for what he has done and what he has given. And so I'm going to do the same. As the last few people in our congregation get their bread and their cup, what we're about to do is something that we do, as I said, about once a month here at Friendship, together. You don't have to be a church member to partake in this, you just have to be a believer in Jesus. But this is also kind of symbolic of what we do before every meal, or what we should do before every meal. What is the one thing that we do, a lot of us do, before every meal, before we eat? What do? We pray, we say grace. That is every time that we eat, every time that we drink, we're to give thanks to God and remember who gave us those things to eat and drink, but also remember the sacrifice that Jesus made to give us eternal life, eternal bread, eternal an eternal cup to drink from. And so that's what we're going to do now. We're going to eat the bread and drink the cup, and we're going to remember Jesus until he comes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for giving him as a sacrifice for us. But Father, even as great as a gift as Jesus is, we want to praise you and praise your name for who you are that generous. Father, help us to live generously because you are so generous to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.